Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabre. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabre.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Are you sure you're glad to be here? One of the Bibles says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So we come into the house of the Lord with excitement. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, this morning we say thank you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your love. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for keeping us alive. Well, thank you for this season, oh God, that you are making us aware, more aware, lay more emphasis on the fact that the souls of men are very, very, very critical and very, very important. I pray this morning you will encourage us. You will gear us up. You will set fire on us, that we will also think and act and behave like you want us to be. Thank you for everyone who is here. I know our lives will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord, and you may be seated. All right. We're looking at, what are we looking at? You remember? What are we looking at? The benefits of what? Of harvesting souls. The benefit of harvesting souls. Soul winning, or human beings changing from idol worship, changing from doing their own thing, giving their lives and their hearts to Christ, is one of the most important responsibilities of Christians. Are you with me? And we're trying to still encourage you and remind you and if you want to call it, revive you, for those that may be sleeping, to think more about others and their eternal destination. We must think of that more than ourselves. So we want to start by what's the first reason why harvesting of souls is important, is beneficial? Do you have that? Is what? It gives what? It gives meaning to Christianity. The harvest of souls gives meaning to Christianity. Because if we don't encourage, if we don't warn people about hell, if we don't warn people about where they are going to go after they are dead, if we don't warn them about it, then our purpose as Christians and as the church is not, beneficial. And you look at it. You take a look at it. Any church that does not emphasize and actively involve itself in soul winning or soul harvesting, the church is dead. Hey, Mrs. Jordan, it's been ages. Where have you been? The Lord has forgiven you of your sins. Amen. I'm saying that you walk around, you look around, the churches that don't win souls, the churches that don't emphasize in winning souls, you watch them and see. Dead, 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 like La Repentance Cemetery. You look around. I'm sure where you live, there are churches around there. You look around and see. Only 10 people go. Only 5 people go. Only 18 people go. When people go, they sleep. Why? It's not because of anything. It's because the meaning of the church is off.
Now, anything that doesn't have a meaning, you are as good as dead. Any tree in your yard, any tree in your garden, Evander, any tree around wherever you are, that does not bear fruit and is supposed to bear fruit, it's meaningless. It's useless. How can I have a mango tree in my yard and I don't get mangoes? When people are selling mango, 3 for 100, 4 for 100, 5 for 200, and then I got to go and buy mango. When I have a big mango tree, are you only good for a shade? Is a mango tree only good for shade? There are other things that can offer shade. So if the mango tree in the yard is only good for shade, then you might as well go. In a similar fashion, if the Church of Jesus Christ is only as good for singing and dancing and noise making, then we must as well close the doors of the church and disappear. So, for harvesting to the church, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. Or Matthew chapter 16 verse 25 probably is better. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 25. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Many people are living their lives nowadays, saving their lives. They want things that will, when we say save your life, you are doing things that will preserve your life. You don't want to lose anything. Aaron, it's like, whatever you do, it must preserve you. You are concerned about your health. You are concerned about your prosperity. You are concerned about your safety. You are concerned about you. The Bible says, that is what you mean when you say you are saving your life. Anybody who wants to save their life, the Bible says they will lose it. You mark it somewhere and see. There's a story, I don't know whether it's true, but there's a story when we were younger that was told back in Ghana that there was this man who went to see the Obia man. He said he wanted to live long. The Obia man told him, if you wanted to live long, you should avoid trees because it's a tree, it's wood. He will die by where a tree will fall on him and he will die. So if he wants to live long, he should avoid trees. So he stopped going to the farm because he doesn't want to go to the farm and one day he's weeding and then bam, some tree from nowhere. So he stopped going to the farm and he was in his house, was in his kitchen all the time, you know. And then he wanted this, chewing stick. How do you call chewing stick here? Black sage. So he went into his cupboard. The cupboard was a little higher. He was looking for his black sage to chew, chewing stick. And so when he was trying to pick it up, it fell on his head and he died. Why? Because it was appointed unto him that it is a wood that will kill him. So he was trying to save himself from the farm, thinking that it's a farm rather than a tree. No, that the chewy stick fell on his head, and that was it. So if you try to save your life, you will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake. And he goes on to verse, it's a man dead. If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Now, this is the reason why we are talking about the harvesting of the benefits in harvesting of souls. A soul, or if you want to call it a human life, the Bible says that there is nothing in this life that can be compared to a human life. I don't know if you are in the church this morning. When you see life being spoiled, like how you see happening in Guyana, you see that the mindset of people and evil has gone to a higher level. When you see people can just take a gun and just kill somebody, somebody can just set people on fire. You see, because the soul, look at it. That's what the Bible says. The soul is, it said, if he shall gain the whole world. So if you have the whole world on one side and one human life on another side, the Bible says that it is incomparable. I don't even want me here to explain further. It means that if you have all the houses in this world, I'm not talking about one. I'm talking about all the millions of the gold. You have South America, and in South America, there's gold place. You can think of anything you want to think about. All the aeroplanes, all the vehicles, all the money, all the diamond. The Bible says if you have all of that, you compare it to human life, whether it's small or big, whether it's yellow or black, whether it's green. The Bible says it is incomparable. So when you see these people rising up and say Black Lives Matter, in America, people are shooting people and Black Lives Matter. It's a major thing to take a gun and just shoot somebody. It's a very, very serious issue. You can't politicize this. You can't. It is a very, very serious issue. In a similar way, if somebody also dies and goes to hell, it is a very serious issue. So the Bible says that, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall a man give in exchange? You can bring all the United States dollars. You can bring all the Canadian dollars. You can bring all the British pound that has been disgraced now. You can bring all the euros. The Bible says that if you were to exchange anything with the life of an individual, there's nothing that can exchange it. You see, in those olden days, or even in some villages still, they do this barter trade. Where you give me a bag of rice, I give you a bag of tomatoes or some kalaloo. They call it barter trade. It means, you don't buy, you give this for that. If you have tomatoes, you give me. If I have oil, I give you some. Like that. That's how they used to live in the olden days. And they still do it in some old environment also. The Bible says that if you were to take a soul, then you were to offer it. There is nothing you can give in exchange for the soul. Your life is very, very important. Your life is very, very precious. You see, and it is very, very precious because it is God who gives you the life. And anything God gives is priceless. I say anything God gives is priceless. Hallelujah. I don't know how anybody can put a price to when God takes mud and he creates a certain image and he breathes into that person and the person becomes a living soul. I don't know how much you want to buy the person for. Think about it. Can you make a nose? Can you make an eye? Look at how we struggle to even preserve an eye. The moment cataract comes in, you see how we struggle. You see glaucoma. Anything that comes on your body, you try all the things you want to try. We can't preserve it. Because the thing that is now not working is a very precious thing. Hey, America, sometimes they even make it nicer in America. If you lose your hand in America, let's say you are working in a factory, and then you lose your let's say your thumb. You know how many millions they'll pay you for that? They'll sue you millions. Because the life of an individual is very, very precious. And that is why God, who created life and created man, has also laid emphasis on the salvation of souls. And that you and I, we are here because we are saved. If you are not saved, you better get saved before you go home. Your salvation is very, very important to God. God does not want you to go to hell. Neither does he want even the bad ones out there to go to hell. So we must see the benefits and the importance and the relevance of soul winning. You see, soul winning is like eating. Are you there? Soul winning is like eating. If you don't eat, if you like, don't eat. You can go on hunger strike. That's okay. You see what will happen if you don't eat. But if you eat, also, you have to excrete. So it's also like excretion. If you as a Christian, you're always receiving, Randa, hey, always receiving. You're sitting down, you resell out, you give your offering, you see, it's like some other time, it's not excreting. It causes constipation, is a disease. Retaining poisonous substances, God otherwise let go. God has placed substances or keep your house. That's why feces immediately come out. You want it to disappear. People fight about not flushing the toilet. Married couples, they fight. If you're even urinating, they say, well, why don't you flush when you urinate? Married couples fight, and sometimes even because you go and you download and you forget to. Because downloading, there are other things on your head. So somebody is getting goose pimples right now. Yeah. And they download big things, wild things. And they get up and they go. Then you don't know you are going to use the washroom. And when you go, you get vexed. You say, what's this? I mean, no matter how you love the person, you say, sweetie. No, this thing. No. You can't do that, man. First time you forgive. Second time, you say, but Charlie, this thing is coming some way. Third time, you say, but you, what wrong with you? It becomes a fight in the house. Because that particular thing is not supposed to be, it has to disappear. But we Christians who sit down and don't talk to others about Jesus and don't evangelize and don't win souls, we are like that. That thing that when it comes out, people don't want to see, we want to keep it in our system. So soul winning gives meaning to Christianity. What are we here for? We are here to feed the poor. We are not here to heal the build hospitals. We are not here to educate people. We are not here to clean people's gutters. You know when the clean my neighborhood exercise started, was it last year or so? Then we went around trying to evangelize in the neighborhood to, talk to them and invite them to church of that. Then somebody said, no, until we start cleaning the area and clean the gutters. So I was told, and I said, that guy, he's something wrong with him. Environment. Yes. What do you mean? If you don't want to clean your own gutters. But you see the relevance. You see what the church is looked at? The church is seen as irrelevant. I tell you, that and things happen in the church. People get mad. Because what is a pastor? What is a church member? Why do you want to be a pastor? That's why many, many times people don't think of becoming pastors. Because what's the use of becoming a pastor? Say, what do you want to become when you get big? You don't look so big. How old are you? How old is you? 19. Stand and talk to the boss man. You're 19. You're 19? What's your name? Mikey. 19, Mikey. You're sitting next to your wife. She husband is Mikey too. And she hearing me as I preach it now. What do you want to be? When you get big, what do you want to do? Doctor, something? Liar, something? President? You know yet. Okay, who knows? I see some nice young men around here. Say, what do you want to be when you get big? You're big already. Yeah, you look big, man. How old is you? 21. Yeah, you look big. So what do you want to be? Or you're big already? You want to be a president? What do you want to be? You get nothing minded. Okay. All right. That's also not a bad idea. What about you? What's your name? Leanne. Hey, stand. There's a Leanne over there. Leanne, stand. What do you want to be? How old are you? 17. You're 17. So you still are thinking. What do you want to be? A doctor. What? Why not a pastor? Why not a pastor? Look at your face. Thank you, Leanne. He didn't say pastor. Because the church is like an irrelevant organization. Who wants to be a pastor? But then when they see pastors bless big houses and driving cars, then they say, well, I'm here. It's church money. Church money sweet. You should have thought of becoming a pastor a long time ago. You did because you didn't know about church money. That church money sweet. You think pastors don't do anything? There's no need for a pastor. No, but God will want many people to become pastors. I tell you. Hallelujah. So the relevance of the church comes through the winning of souls. We are the ones who must bring the light of the gospel to those who don't have it. Many people don't have the light. Mikey, many people are going to hell, you know. Many people are dying, they are going to hell. We need to preach. We must tell them. We must
tell them about God. We must tell them about Jesus. And we must ensure that we just don't tell them only, but that the words of our mouth, our preaching, is effective to the extent that people, they are saved.
You are not responding. I don't know. If I was saying that, I see you getting married, I'm sure you'll be making noise right now. I said you're receiving a car right now. I'm sure I'll hear some noise. Eh? Okay. Let's take one point for this morning. Soul winning energizes Christians. Winning souls or harvesting souls brings energy. It energizes. It energizes. It energizes. It brings energy. You know, do you know that there's something in Christianity called energy? Energy. Yeah. Now, what is energy? If you look at energy, people, energy is so critical. You know, energy is very important. Energy is so important that there are a lot of energy drinks these days. XL, even cocaine. Those of you who sniff cocaine, who can tell us? What's the cocaine sniff around? Ivo, is that you? Yeah. No, energy. People want energy. Coffee. People drink coffee as a stimulant. So your eyes will stay open. You can do, it is from coffee that people use cocaine. People, all kinds of things. And if you go to a supermarket right now, there's a whole section of energy drinks. What are some of them? Turbo. Those energy drinks, they will kill you. A lot of cocaine are in the thing too. If it will kill you. It will break your heart, you know. If you like this, you have to be careful. But I'm sure you drink it because it gives you energy. And what?
Put me away.
It nearly put you away. Nearly kill you. Because there's a lot of things in it too. You see, the body naturally is tired. The eyes are dim. They are weary. And you say, don't talk to me. You got to stay open. And then you drink something that pops your eyes open. So you are actually working against nature. Now, maybe you succeed one or two times. But if it becomes a routine, then it will definitely get your system into trouble. Yesterday in the morning, I was talking to a guy. Early in the morning, he was drinking XL. Early in the morning. Early. He's like, first I said, ah. He said, yeah, he wants energy. Young guy. He said, you've woken up in the morning, a young man of about 18 years old. You don't have energy. You need XL to have energy. Then your life is gone. When you become 30, we need to cocaine. We have to inject you with cocaine before you can wake up. People use that as drugs. Ecstasy. Yeah. Steroids. All this is, they drink it. Some even use it for sex, pornography. They do, yeah. They drink that so that the penis can stay on long. Yeah. Now, God did not create the penis to stay on for 1 hour like that. You know what happened to Joe Jackson? Michael Jackson's father, he went to Brazil. He saw all them nice girls. Old man. He said he ain't taking left. He went to drink Viagra. He was admitted at the hospital. He nearly died. Because, of course, when you see these young girls, you gotta bring something. Not so? But as old as he is, the thing can't stand up like that. So he has to take a lawyer. Now the lawyer was Viagra. They admitted him at the Brazilian hospital. They took a picture of him with about three of these. You know how these Brazilians stay? Well, I mean, very almost naked. When he saw one like that, he said, Basidi! Joe Jackson, Michael Jackson's father. So energy in a person's life is very, very important. Soul winning souls also brings energy.
Hey, Acts chapter 4. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Energy. Energy. I mean, you get, just like you drink whatever XL or XTC and stay alive. So it makes you, energizes you. You try it and see. And as they spake unto the people, this is when the disciples were preaching unto the people. The priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, when you talk about resurrection from the dead, people are not interested in it anymore. People like blessings. People like care. People like, bring a picture of you, husband. You what? You disgusting husband. And let I pray for he. Let his head start walking good. Or let me use a spiritual 2x4 and lash in a spirit. And let his brain settle. You see how people go wrong with picture. Come on stage and say, so, oh, pastor, pray for me, husband. Pray for me, children. Me child disgusting. But Lord, this son, this. Blah, blah, blah. That's what people like now. If you preach about the resurrection of the dead, isn't it? That the dead will resurrect. Yeah. They preach through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was eventide. So they arrested them. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000 people gave their life to Christ as the disciples started preaching. Man, if you see 5,000 people saying that, I surrender. Man. It's not cricket, though. This is not cricket game. This is not Guyana and St. Lucia. This is people giving their lives to Christ. 5,000. You see, we don't see those things around. There's no church in Guyana that has 5,000 people. There's no church in Guyana that even has 2,000 people or even 1,000 people. So the energy in church work, the energy in Christianity is not there. The life is not there. Lots of people don't like to go to church. Can you imagine the Providence Stadium filled or the Jubilee Stadium packed to capacity with Christians worshiping God? You see what will happen in Guyana. You see what will happen in Guyana. Energy. You will see excitement. But if you want to do a program right there now, you'll be sorry. Even one stand crack cannot be filled. Verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, they called the preachers, they called the Christians, and they placed them in the midst. You know, Russia, they passed the law, right? That proposed law that they were saying that nobody should evangelize. Yeah, in Russia, it's a law now. You can't evangelize outside the church. So the Mormons, I hear the Mormons were saying that they are not leaving, they are staying to do whatever they want to do. So we must expect some Mormons being jailed in Russia. You can't preach on the streets in Russia anymore. It's finished. Yeah. We don't want to preach. So when that law comes, we'll be very excited, you know. So, oh, praise the Lord. I've always not liked this thing, you know. I'm okay. I'm good. Now when the law comes, they will see those who really believe in those things. So they called them and they brought them in the midst of the council of churches. And they said, by what power or by what name have you done this? These things you've been doing, preaching and having all these crusades and this. Well, what power? Who gave you the power? And when people who have authority come to you and they say, who gave you the authority? And you know, they didn't give you the authority. It's not a simple thing. You have to answer. So who gave you the authority? They didn't give you the authority. They are the ones who are supposed to give you the authority. They didn't give it to you. And they are asking you, who gave you the authority? What are you going to say? Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with what? Ecstasy. Filled with XL. He said, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. This is a lot of people. He said, if we this day be examined, if we are being proven, if we are being tested or tried of the good deed done to this impotent man, a man was healed in Acts chapter 3, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given unto thee, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That is what caused this problem. He said that we have done this good deed by to the impotent man. By what means he is made whole? If we have helped this guy, now he's healed. He goes to verse 10. He says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him do we do the, does this man stand before you whole?
This is the stone which you, which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the cornerstone, isn't it? Head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Only one man, only one name. There's only one name given among men under heaven. That's it. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is, there is no name which you call upon that you'll be saved, but there's only one name. You can talk about Shiva. You can talk about Shiva's blessings. When I see vehicles and I see Shiva's blessings on in front of it, I said, this guy is lost. Shiva doesn't bless. It's God who blesses. It's Jesus Christ who blesses. Hallelujah. There's only one name. Verse 13. He said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter, he looked like he had drunk ecstasy. He was energized. He was very, alive. Look at how Christians these days, we are so dull, walking around very empty, unattractive. People see us, there's nothing about us to lead us to where we go every Sunday and whatever day we go. He said, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. So Peter didn't go to school. So when they saw him, they said, an uneducated guy cannot behave like how this guy is behaving. It's too much. It's those of you who didn't go to school well and you're afraid to preach. Don't be afraid at all. God likes even those who didn't go to school well, because he wants to use you to preach so that those who have gone to school will say, what's this? How can he do that? We know he didn't go to school. Even though he ain't got headspace. No. God uses those without headspace to confound those who have headspace or who think they have headspace. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Very quickly, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And the Bible says, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. And the Bible says, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by this, by them, is manifest to all. To all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. They say, you know what, this thing, we can't, even though they are like, they are not ignorant men and all of that, the fact is there. This guy, we know him, he was a lame man, he's healed, it's clear. We can't do anything about it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Don't let them preach. Let's give them a law, a rule, not to preach again. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter again and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Do you have an English NLT? Let's see what it says there. Acts chapter 4 verse 19. Look at the energy. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? Hey, Peter, are you sure? Are you not afraid? Do you know who you are talking to? You have to have respect for these popes and these cardinals and these bishops, you know. Peter said, energy. The Bible says, if you go on this story, he said, give me that one. Go. He said, we cannot stop telling about the wonderful things we have heard and seen. We saw Jesus. We walk with Jesus. We heard him speak. You can't tell me that Jesus is nothing. I should not talk about Jesus. Now, if you go further, it's a long story. The Bible says, after this whole episode, they prayed.
They prayed. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost again. And they began to preach even more boldly. I'm talking about an energy that comes. And after this prayer, the building where they were meeting. Have you experienced that before? Manasseh, have you experienced that before? And you are praying and then the building where you are inside, it shakes. Tiffany Samuels, have you experienced prayer that the ground where you were standing, the prayer shook the foundation of the building? You come to church and we say we are blessed. When the foundations have never shaken. Yeah. He said, and after this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook. God responded. God is a God who responds by shaking the foundations of the building where you are inside to tell you that I hear you. Because God, when God responds, he responds in a way that you must feel that God has responded. Yeah. So the foundation of the building where they were standing, it shook as a response. The Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached God's message with boldness. Energy. They were not sleeping. They were not sleeping. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that and daily they devoted themselves constantly, daily to what? To fellowship, to prayers, to breaking of bread, and they met from house to house as if the people didn't have anything to do. They joined with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. Daily. They were doing that every day. Where is your energy to do what you love to do on a daily basis? The energy is not there. The energy is not there. I said the energy is not there. I said the energy is not there. Soul winning is the result, is what will give you that energy. When you go, the Bible says, he who goes out sowing in tears, he will come back reaping in joy. There is some kind of power and energy in winning souls, ladies and gentlemen. If we will do it, we will experience that energy. Stand to your feet, my time is up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, I believe in you. I will go to the ends of the earth. Lift up your voice. Let's sing it together. Oh, I can't hear you. Sing with me. Jesus, I believe in you, and I will go
to the end of the earth.
Sing it, sing it.
To the end of the earth.
Oh, for you alone are the Son of God. All the world will see that you are God. You are God. Love unfailing. Love unfailing. Sing it with us.
Overtaking my heart.
You take me in.
You take me in.
Finding peace again. Fear is lost in all you are. I will gain the world to tell your story. Cause I know that you've called me. I know that you've called me. I've lost myself for good within your promise. I will hide it. I will hide it. And Jesus, I believe in you,
and I will go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth.
For you alone are the Son of God,
all the world will see. You are God. You are.
Sing it one more time.
Jesus, I believe in you. I will go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. For you, I look at the Son of God. All the world will see that you are God. You are.
For the last time,
Jesus, I
believe in you.
To the end of the earth. For you, the Lord, by the Son of God, that all the world will see that you are God. You are God.
Oh, Jesus,
I believe.
Lift up your hands to God right now. Let the energy, let the fire, let the power, the boldness of the Holy Ghost fill you and fall upon your life. May you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. May you speak about Jesus. May you not be able to keep your mouth shut when it comes to talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. May the grace of God abound to you, that you will be somebody who evangelizes, somebody who wins souls. There are benefits in winning souls. And that may your energy never run dry.
Oh, for you, Lord, I'm the Son of God, and all the world will see that you are God.
Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. We know we are going to be revived even more than we have even this morning in your presence as we go out there and win souls unto you. May we be able to lead people to Christ. May darkness fall off the lives and the destinies of the people around us. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, you are here this morning. You want to give your heart to Jesus Christ. You want to say, Pastor, please, I don't want to go home without giving my heart to Christ. I am not saved. If I die right now, I'm not sure whether I will go to heaven or hell. Pastor, before I leave the service this morning, I want to be sure. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to fix my relationship with God. You are here like that. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to go to heaven when I die. If you are here like that, while every eye is closed, and every head is bowed, you want to lift up your right hand and say, Pastor, it's me. I want to be saved. Pastor, it's me. I want to be born again. Pastor, it's me. I want to go to heaven when I die. Just your right hand up high and I'll pray with you. Just your right hand and I'll pray. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. If you lifted up your right hand, I want to ask you to come to me. Come. Mikey, come. Come, Leon, come. Come on, I'll pray for you. Come. You lifted up your hand. Come. God bless you. Leon, God bless you. God bless you right here. Stand right here. Mikey, come. Come.
With me, God, my sir.
Don't frighten, boy. You frightened? You frightened? Come now.
Lead me.
Na, 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 na. Come, boy. Come, come. Don't worry. Come for Mikey. Come for Mikey.
Oh, where your love for God. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Grant me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me.
Close your eyes with me and say this prayer after me. I want the church to join in as we pray this prayer together. It takes a simple prayer. Your life is changed forever. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe he died on the cross for your sins, then the Bible says if you confess with your mouth, then you shall be saved. Mikey, don't frighten. All right, say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me
I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. By this prayer, I believe that I am saved from hell. I believe I'm born again now, and my name is written in the book of life. I thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for these wonderful souls that have come forward. I thank you for these lives. I pray, I declare that Satan has no role, any power over these lives from today in the name of Jesus. Thank you for writing their names in the book of life. I pray that your power, your fire will be with them, will fall on them, that you raise them up to serve you until the end of their days. Thank you, Holy Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.